Blog Talk Radio.
Like a dream to me that somehow came true, and I know tomorrow will still be the same, 'cause we've got.
Can I just see some rent?
That's a bummer. I don't know what's going on with my music, but good evening, everyone, and welcome to Delicious Talk. This is your host, Gail Delicious Johnson, hoping everybody's having a beautiful Friday evening. I have a few announcements I want to make before I get my show on the way. Sorry the chat room isn't open, but I am going to open it if anybody's interested in coming to the chat room. Okay, I first would like to send a shout-out to my girl, Miss Kane, in Alabama. She called me last night to inform me that my baby daddy, Smokey Robinson, was on Blog Talk Radio, The Love Zone, host Mike T, which airs every Thursday at 8 p.m. I was so, oh my goodness, I cannot really describe how I felt, but I immediately called into the show. I was under the impression that I was going to be able to speak to Smokey directly, but Mike had it set up so that, you know, there were no calls accepted in, but you could, there was an 800 number that you could call and leave a message for Smokey, a private message. And you girls, everybody know that I did. I definitely did. I called enough a message. And Mike said that he would be playing a message, one of the messages from one of the callers at the end of the show. He played my message, and he also told me that he had played the message for Smokey, and Smokey said he loved it. Whew, that was the highlight of my evening yesterday. So every Thursday, if you like, tune into the Love Zone. He has some different celebrities on there, and just so happened I caught Smokey on there, and I will be listening to Mike T from time to time. Another announcement, Antoine T. Money, the local actor here whose big debut screen movie that debuted back in the summer, The Right to Remain Silent, him and Sude Stranger were the stars in that movie. The DVD is out, and if anyone is interested in purchasing it, you can send Antoine T. Money an email. His email address is Antoine T. Money, that's AntoineTemoney at hotmail.com. And I know you guys are going to love that. And he is so busy starring in this movie and being in that movie. He's definitely a busy guy. So if you want to get your copy of The Right to Remain Silent, send an email to Antoine T. Money. Okay, on a sadder note, childhood friend of mine of many years, she's a CEO of Show on Skates, Betty Dobbs. Her brother was found dead in Anacostia Park on Tuesday. So please lift my friend up in prayers, because, you know, it's sad when you lose a family member, and it was her brother. I think it was her oldest brother, and he's gone. So lift my friend, Miss Betty Dobbs, up in prayer. And on a good note, I'm doing great, fantastic, getting ready to go out on another adventure. I'm always doing something adventurous, but this is going to be a very big adventure that I'm taking, that I had decided to just go on and do it after I said that I would never do it. But I'm going to do it. You know, I'm stepping out on faith and going to do what I have to do, and I'll keep you guys posted as I make progress in what I'm doing. I really don't want to discuss what I'm going to do, but I am going to let you guys know once I do get that underway. And you guys who don't know, I am an author and a poet. I have 4 books under my belt, working on my 5th and 6th book as we speak. I'm also working on turning one of my books into a play. And my first book and the sequel to that book is going to be turned into a movie as well. So I'm doing those things, you know, just keeping busy and, you know, trying to keep my head above water, stay out of trouble. Today I also do a segment on the Third Eye Open every Friday from 1:30 p.m. until about 2 or 2:30, depending on what the topic is and how long we, you know, be on there. That's every Friday from 1:30 to between 1:30 and 2 or 2:30. That's the Third Eye Open. And Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I co-host a show with Miss Kane. That's Miss Kane Promotions, young lady down in Alabama. She's a good friend of mine as well. So those are things that I'd be up to. And, you know, like I said, just trying to keep my head above water. Tonight, I have a very special guest, Tory Scott Irving. He's the author of Love Rescue. And I'm going to read his little bio to let you know just who Tory Scott Irving is. Tory Scott Irving, homegrown Texan with a smothering passion for writing that began as a creative spark in high school and grew into a flame after college. His burning pen created Love Rescue, currently available online, a book of romantic erotic poetry designed to uplift and rescue the love in women's heart around the world. Tory's latest project, What One Woman Did, will be available for preview soon. Tory's work is exciting, unique, sexy, and sensitive to a woman's needs. His first release, Love Rescue, is indicative of his plan. Rescue women tired of men playing games, if only for a moment. Lose yourself in the heart of the man, Tory Scott Irving. He can be emailed at www.toriesi23@yahoo.com. Okay, so without further ado, I'm going to bring Tory Scott on. Hello, Tory.
Hey, girl, I'm on here.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. I guess Aria will be along shortly. You know, she's not here yet, but we're going to, you know, hold it down until she gets here. Now, is there anything else you'd like to add to what I didn't say about you?
You pretty much summed it up, but, you know, before I get started, I did want to send my prayers out to your friend, Miss Betty Dodge. That was,
you
know,
thank you.
Pretty sad, so I want to go ahead and send my prayers out to her and her family.
Right, thank you. I appreciate that because she's she lost her husband some years ago, not too many years ago. She lost her husband and now her brother. So, you know, I know it's gets pretty bad on the heart when you're losing people that are close to you and people that you love. So, you know, I just want people to, you know, pray for her and, you know, help her get through these trying times. And her and her brother, like I had also mentioned, she's a CEO of a show on skates, which she does every summer for the parks services and, you know, different places that in the city, you know, they ask her to bring her skate troupe out and they do skating. And, you know, she's been doing that for years and years, you know. So I had been to quite a few of them myself and I, you know, would be down in the park when her brother would, you know, come down and he would skate, you know, and, you know, it'd be like, you know, good times like back in the day because, like I also had mentioned, we all grew up together, you know. So I told her when she, you know, called me today and told me what had happened, I told her that, you know, at least I was glad that I did see him before, you know, he did die because so many of my other friends are dead, and I didn't get a chance to see them, you know, only, you know, going to the funeral. So,
yeah.
You know, so, you know, that's that. But, you know, I guess, you know, those are things that happened. He had went out Tuesday, and, you know, he didn't come back home, but she had figured, you know, maybe he had went to the hospital because he was, you know, a little bit, had problems with his stomach, and he would, you know, go to the hospital, and they would keep him for a few days and send him home. So what had happened today, the police came, you know, to her house and told him that they had found him in the park dead, and that's basically where we would go to skate in Anacostia Park in the pavilion. So,
yeah.
I guess he got his last skate out, but, yeah, so he's gone. So, anyway, we're going to get into you, Mr. Tory Scott. So, is this your first book, Love Rescue?
Yeah, it's actually my first book, release. It was released earlier this year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was actually a couple of the poems in here, you know, a compilation of what I did probably years ago. And I have pretty much another notebook of poems that I've, you know, recent poems that I've done. And getting ready to put those into another poetry book. But this book here is poems done, most of these was done right out of, I think some was in high school and some was fresh out of college. So
wow.
It's something I've been having it sitting for a while, so I just finally, you know, put it together and had it out. My family was telling me to go ahead and get it out, so that's what I did.
So what made you get into poetry?
I think it was an English class I took in high school. I don't know if it was freshman year. I'm pretty sure it was freshman year. And one of the subjects we was doing, it was having something to do with poetry. And, you know, you go through that stage in English class when you start reading Shakespeare and Romeo and Juliet and all that stuff, and we got into poetry, and somehow it just, you know, I started writing my own, and I began to like it, so I just kept it going.
Okay. So, now the poems in the book, I loved every one of them, but I always had my favorites, I'm not going to lie. And My Little Man, that was really, that's a deep poem.
Wow, that's good. No one's ever told me they like that one. I was thinking you were going to go with, you know, one of the, My Heart, My Shoulders, My Ears, or Lay Your Head on My Chest. But, yeah, I'm glad you like My Little Man. I don't think people really went as deep as I tried to go with it, so I'm glad you like that one.
Yeah, it was pretty deep because it, you know, it just, you know, it's as if you, because I could see you and a little boy, you know, and all the things that you're, you know, expressing in this poem, I could see you expressing them to this little boy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's just how I had pictured it because it's just, you know, it's so visual, this
yeah.
poem. It's
and,
very visual.
I wrote that poem because I'm really, really close with my nephew because, you know, you know, I keep me and my niece and my nephew, I keep them, and he looks up to me a lot. So, and me and him, we're always going out, you know, hanging out. He likes to, he does everything I do. He try to dress like me, try to talk like me, everything he do or everything I do, he do. So, one day I was just writing a poem and, you know, was thinking about that. And so that's where that one came from.
Okay. And then just like there's another one, Pain. I like that one as well. Now when you how long does it take you to put these poems together? In one setting, or you write something down, then you get another thought and put it together, or, you know, how do you, because when I write a poem I have to, you know, I write it maybe a little at a time, and then I think of something else to add to it.
Yeah,
you know, sometimes I can write a poem straight through, but, you know, I'm just wondering, how do you do it?
Yeah, because it's pretty different. I don't know if you started out this way, but with the style of poetry that I have in this book, can sit down and just write it, and if I start it, I can finish it within probably 5-10 minutes. But with my, you know, later work, I'm trying a different style, so it may take me a couple days or a couple weeks to write one poem because I'm trying a different style. And, you know, I guess my writing is trying to mature a little bit or whatever, but the poems in these, but in Love Rescue, I can start it. If I get one started or write a couple lines, I can finish it within, 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Are any of the poems in the book you've written like something that you may have experienced yourself? Because Death Talk to Me, what were you feeling when you wrote this? Or is this just something that, you just made up?
Yeah, it may be something I made up. A lot of where I pull in from, I either hear something on TV or hear a situation on, the radio or on the news, something like that. And they're talking to me, about a drunk driver. So I'm pretty sure at the time I was either watching TV or listening to the radio and heard someone got killed by a drunk driver. So that one, that's how that one came along. And that's mostly the poems that's in the book, that's how they come along. It's kind of hard for me to put my own, feelings and emotions and the things that I deal with, myself into my own words.
Right. Okay. And Conversation with God, I like this one as well. I'm not really one to discuss religion or anything like that, but this was a very good point too. So what was the message in this?
Actually, I think that was my more spiritual poems. They probably have a lot more to do with me, because I wrote those in time when I was, not really going through a lot, but going through a lot personally, and stuff I was dealing with. I was in a tough situation going through college and didn't know, which way I wanted to go. So I, just got real spiritual. That's when I started writing all my spiritual poems.
Right, because you also had the book Divide, that's in the struggles part of the book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So, who are your biggest fans?
For authors and good things?
Huh?
You talking about for authors?
Yeah.
Of course, I like Zane because, I like romance and, erotic stuff. So, and the thing about it, which it kills a lot of people when I tell them this, but I'm not, for some reason, it's hard for me to, read and write. It's hard for me to sit down and read a book and, write and that kind of thing. I don't know why. It's just something in me. It's hard for me to just sit down and be still. So people ask me, how can you write a book if you don't like to read and you don't like to write? It's very hard. Sometimes I have to force myself to write because I have stuff in my head, and it just needs to come out. The people I read, Zane is pretty much top of the list, and of course there's some others that I pick up along the way.
Mm-hmm.
But as of right now, that's the one that kind of stick out to me the most.
Insane. Okay. So, who would you say that influenced you the most in your writing?
It would probably be my family. It wasn't, it wasn't any author, any book or anything that kind of just influenced me. My motivation comes from my family.
Okay.
When they hear something, or read something that I wrote that they like, and the reaction I get from them, that's what keeps me going and keeps me right. So if I'm not, if I go through a stretch where I don't, not getting that kind of reaction from them, I go through a writer's block. So I kind of need the support and motivation from, my family.
Okay, so that helps you get over your writer's block?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Okay. So you also working on another book, or let me see, what did that say? Your your latest project, What One Woman Did. Is that a novel or what is that?
Yeah, that's going to be a novel. And actually, that's going to be a start of a series. That's pretty much just by a character named Dr. T, who, you know, have a persona or whatever. And he's dealing with his own personality and trying to fight with what he's looking for.
Is that Dr. T, the emergency room?
Mm-hmm, that's the group on Facebook.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I just, you know, having a little fun with the character and created his own little image and, you know, his character or whatever, so.
Right, because I was reading about Dr. T.
Yeah,
Dr. T, right?
Right.
Wow, yeah, he is a character. I'm telling you, because when I was reading the little excerpt he had put up, I was saying, what in the world is going on here? And then kind of find out why he is the way he is. Wow, that is heavy. That's heavy. So when is that going to be available?
Hopefully, I'm leaning towards the beginning of next year.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's what I'm leaning toward. I wanted to get out this year.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I'm leaning towards early next year.
Oh, okay. The number one Essen in the chat room told me to tell you, hey.
Tell her, I said, what's up? That's the girl right there.
Yeah, so is your book self-published or do you have a publisher for this book?
For which one?
Love Rescue.
It's Published America published it.
Okay. So why did you choose to do it that way or opposed to self-publishing?
Because really I was, I was a new author. I didn't really know a lot about, you know, the ins and outs of publishing.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time I was really, you know, because Love Rescue is not one of my major projects, but, it, you know, since I have my name on it, I wanted to make sure it's okay. But it was Publish America. I didn't have to say anything. Just they'll publish for me and just go ahead and get it out. Mm-hmm. Mainly for, you know, copyright reasons and to go ahead and get it out because my family wanted me to go ahead and push it instead of just sitting on it.
Right. So are you going to self-publish your other books or?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Oh, okay. Okay. So, yeah. Okay, so we're going to take a break and come back, and I'm going to ask you to read some of your poems and a little bit from Dr. T as well, okay?
Okay.
All right, we'll be right back. That's Stevie Wonder, I Never Dreamed You'd Leave in Summer, and that song is so beautiful. Okay, we have my co-host on the line. I'm going to bring her in, Tori, before I get you to read some excerpts from your book and your story, okay?
Okay.
Hi, Rhea.
Hello, how are you this evening?
I'm fantastic, darling. And yourself?
I'm good. Laid down to take a nap and overslept.
Okay, that happens, girl, that happens. But at least you're here. Tori's on the line. You have any questions
Hi,
for him?
Hey, Rhea, how you doing?
I'm fine, how are you?
I'm apologize
about
good.
My late.
Oh, you good?
Yeah, he's getting ready to read something from his book, Love Rescue, and Dr. T as well. So, Tori, you want to start reading?
Sure. I'll go ahead and read a poem called A Woman's Cry.
Okay.
I experienced it many times, and I don't know why. You ask what I speak of. I speak of a woman's cry. To pull me in so deep, to wake me up from a hard sleep. To distinguish from so many is hard from a guy. It's hard for a guy. I tell you what I know. No one wants to know a woman's cry. I don't tell you, but it's a man's weakness. It can leave me, a man with many words, speechless. It breaks me down to an unknown place and changes many of the expressions upon my face. A cry that makes me do anything to stop it, and a cry that makes me forget about my best and try and top it. The watery eyes that waters my own, a watery cry that tells me I'm not hard as stone. Please forgive me for not wishing for wings so I can fly, for I thank you all for making me a better man, all because of a woman's cry.
Wow. That was one of the poems I liked in there as well, A Woman's Cry. It's so heartfelt to know that, you know, men become so emotional when women cry, as well as women becoming emotional when men cry. So that's really a heartfelt poem.
Yeah, I chose to read that one because I actually have a story that just happened a couple of days ago. My fiance, she was, you know, having a hard day, and she was crying and just bawling, and you know, I thought about that poem, and then the very next day, I talked to my mom, and she started crying. I'm like, oh my goodness, I can't deal with both of y'all crying like this, and it just,
wow.
You know, it just,
yeah.
You know, having them cry kind of weakens me a little bit, because
yeah.
I can't stand to see a woman cry.
Right. Right. You got another one you'd like to read?
Of course. This one here is called The Little Thing. Little thing, so much power it brings. For someone not to ask for much, only for the little things, such as my touch. And for me, it's hard to do, because society proves that it's not true. Some wanting the fancy things, like shiny cars. Some wanting everything, even the moon and the stars. Then some settle for little things in life, not looking at how big or how shiny or even the price. The little things, like watching her while she sings. Television tells us that expensive things count, and not to worry about the thought, but the amount. So I'm here to say that I always do the little things, and I can't wait to see the kind of love it brings. Power you can never dream of, and even the richest man can't afford this love. When it's time for her to walk down the aisle, stand proud as you pulled into her beautiful smile. And in her vows, she says that she always felt like a queen, not because of the things you bought her, but mostly because of the little things.
Wow. Well, I want you to read a poem, so I want everybody to know this poem that
okay.
I definitely love, and that's My Little Man.
All right. Yeah, I get to it real quick.
Okay.
All right, it's called My Little Man. My little man beside me stands, strong, proud, just like me. His dad, who he wants to be. Looking over my son, having him is the best thing me and my wife had done. Spending time with my little man. Why? Because I can. I'm the man he looks up to. What I do, he'll do. I nod my head to music. He nods his head to music. I'm the only dad he's got. Memories, there'll be a lot. Treasuring the times we have together, because I know I won't be here forever. I try and be the best man I could be, because it's only me, my little man, and me. I tell my son to keep praying. He says he'll pray to always be my little man. Now I watch over my son until the day ends. He knows that every day he has a friend. In my son's life, people have come and gone, but still he knows he's never alone. One cold day, arguing with his mom, I just walked up in the snow. Being like his father, he also felt that he needed to go. I remember he and I had a long talk while we were out in the snow taking our walk. We must have talked about everything. I even remember him trying to sing. I gave him plenty of fatherly advice over things to expect in life. He asked whatever he wanted to know how certain situations could go. That day, me and my little man will always remember that very cold, brain-freezing day in December. After that day, my son will be prepared for anything, any situation that the Lord shall bring. As good as the day started, something happened in a tragic way. It became a very saddening day. On our walk home from the cold winter night, a head cold, I was trying my best to fight, coughing and sneezing while the cold air was breathing. I told my son earlier that death was always happening, but no one knows when. Walking outside with my little man clearing my head, I fell down in the snow, lying there with my son thinking I'm dead. My little man didn't know what was going on as he proceeded to call for help using my cell phone. Looking at me with tears falling, "Dad, please wake up," is what my little man's calling. I prepared my son for everything, even death. As help arrived, he stood up and took a deep breath. My son just knew he'd lost me. His dad lying there was all he could see. Wiping his tears away, he began to get on his knees and pray that everything would be okay and that I would always be his big man and he my little man. Holding my hand down near his dad, he stands. He turns and walks away, letting go of my hand. Loud screaming cries build up again. My eyes slightly open. I speak, "Where's my little man?" Turning around with his mouth open wide, he swore his dad had died. My eyes shutting slowly once again. My son speaks, "Dad, here's your little man." "Son, I'll be okay. I love you, Dad," is what he'd say. Again, right there, me and my son began to pray that one day, plays over and over in my mind again as I think about the day I almost lost my little man.
Wow. That is just so profound. And I know you guys out there listening can actually see that going on. You know, the little boy thinking he lost his dad, his best friend. Oh, my goodness. This poem really was something. When I read it, I kept reading it over and over because it was just like I could see the action going on in it.
Uh-huh.
And it's a beautiful poem. And it's heartfelt. And you know, I know you don't have any children, right?
No, I consider my niece and nephew. I consider them my kids.
Right, so there must be definitely a strong love there for those kids.
Yes.
Definitely a strong love. Rhea, you have any questions?
One thing that I found as I read through this book, the imagery in many of the pieces was so powerful that you lingered right there in that
mm-hmm.
moment after reading them for a while. And just, you know, okay, I like one of my favorite, and I hope I get the name right. I think it's Lay
Your Head on My Chest.
Your Head on My Chest.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's Lay Your Head on My Chest, something like
yeah.
that. And that poem resonated with me extremely, and I happen to be a chess person, so that just hit home. And then you talk about the heart beating and feeling the reaction of a person, as well as hearing it and things such as that nature. But I know when I read the first time I read it, because I've read through the entire book at least twice,
mm-hmm.
and the first time I read it, it was kind of rush, and I was going from poem to poem. And then I found myself caught at times and having to stop because of the topic of the poem, as opposed to, you know, the words as much. And that's
right.
when it, you know, it not dawned on me, but I started looking. I said, wow, he represented so many different phases of life. He represented the good, things that made us feel good, things that made us cry and hurt and break down and the whole gamut. And then the second time I read them more in the moment of each poem, and I found myself, especially at certain ones, just stopping, and I can see the whole thing playing through my head, just as it was playing as I was reading it. And I found that fascinating.
Yeah.
But the imagery is very powerful for many of the pieces in this book.
Yeah, what I tried to do is you know, do a whole different style of poetry. You know, you have your different styles and different ways people, you know, view poetry, which to me there's no right and no wrong way to do it, but I tried to present it in a, you know, a storytelling type of way, you know, to make people feel like, you know, they're right there inside and they understand and they can visualize what's going on.
Well, we have a caller. I'm going to pick this caller up. Caller 954, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Hey, Delicious. Hey, Rhea. Hey, Tori. This is Vanessa.
Hey, Essence. How are you doing?
I'm doing
all
right.
I am working all wonderful.
Good.
I'm just calling in to show some support. Everybody sounds so sleepy, and I know I'm sleepy too, but, you know, I just want to call in and let you guys know I'm still here listening.
Well, appreciate it.
Well, thank you, lady.
Appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all, wish her a belated birthday. Her birthday was yesterday.
Right. I sent you a happy birthday. Hope you have many, many more. What did you do for your birthday?
Hey, Rhea. You still waiting for me to answer that question, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
I had
yeah.
a wonderful breakfast, and then I sat around and I did absolutely nothing until dinner. Usually I'm online doing something or making something or doing, I'm always doing something, moving. So I did absolutely nothing until dinner, and then I went out for dinner, and I came back, and I did absolutely nothing again.
Oh,
so for me, that was an enjoyable, relaxed day.
Well, that's what you're supposed to do, exactly what you wanted to do. If you didn't want to do nothing, then that was your day to do nothing.
Absolutely. I get very few of those days. So I really
yes.
enjoyed it.
Well, I'm glad you did,
darling.
But
I just wanted to say hey to everybody, and I'm anxiously awaiting the excerpt from Dr. T. Yeah.
Well,
he is something else. Have y'all ever talked to Dr. T?
I've read Dr. T, and he is
something. She hasn't met him.
No,
yet,
girl,
honey.
You got to talk to Dr.
T.
Oh,
Lord,
there you go.
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
Girl, Dr. T is something else.
Wow.
You never know what is coming out of his mouth. You have to be careful what you ask for.
Exactly.
All right,
women
then.
So
look
anyway, I'm going
to
hang up and go back to listening. But yeah, I'm waiting on Dr. T to show up.
Okay, so
we're going to hear from Dr. T.
Okay, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to go and listen to Dr. T. Okay?
Well, all right. Okay.
All right. That's the Soul Children. I'll Be the Other Woman. And we're here tonight with our special guest, Tory Scott Irving. And he's getting ready to take us someplace else and entertain us with Dr. T. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, hit it.
All right. Before I get started, I wanted to say I love the music you're playing.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, when every time you go to break, I just get to jamming. So you play, you threw some Heat Wave in there. Yeah, I was jamming that. All right. So the scene that I'm getting ready to do is, you know, when you do a flashback, and it's the, I think it's the X would be ready that was on my website.
Mm-hmm.
He was playing, you know, he was doing a flashback and talking to his, I guess the person he was with before, and, you know, how you, so you can get a feel of, you know, how she did him and kind of get a feel of, you know, how, why he's the way he is.
Okay.
Well, how was your day? I said it like, it was my girlfriend Renee of 3 years, a kiss on the cheek. Renee was everything I wanted in a woman. She was beautiful, smart, and intelligent, and what every man wants, a lady in the streets and a fucking freak in the bedroom. She possessed all the qualities that you would want in a wife and a mother. She was very thoughtful, caring, and nurturing, and strong when she needed to be. Physically, the Lord blessed her with something special. Renee stood 5'8", nice dark mahogany skin, and I loved the taste every inch of it. She had medium to long hair that was wavy, just long enough for me to pull when I would have her bent over. bent over perfect, made just for wrapping them around my dick. I got chills and hard on just thinking about them. Her eyes were hazel brown, skin was soft as air. When she smiled, she had the most perfect dimples that only God could ever design. She was my world, and I was sure I was at the point to make her mine forever. You see, earlier that day, I had left early to go to work, but instead I went and purchased a gift for my beautiful Renee and couldn't wait to get home and give it to her. I was finally home, and I had something set up very special, only for her, and couldn't wait until it was over because it's all I've been able to think about. I was eager to put my briefcase down and go love up on my baby. Are you doing okay? How was your day? I asked again as I made me a nice drink. It was okay, Renee said, quick and to the point. Baby, you okay? I asked, knowing that she wasn't by her tone. I'm cool, she said. Actually, Terry, we need to talk, and it can't wait any longer, Renee said as she kept her legs crossed and turned back and looked at me, signaling me to come where she were. She shook her foot nervously and panicked. Her eyes that once was beautiful seemed so hurt and full of sorrow and pain. Her arms were folded, and slowly tears started falling from my eyes. Baby, what's wrong? I asked as I quickly went to console her. You, this bullshit life is what's wrong, she said as she threw her arms out. Mind you, she stays with me in my 4,000-square-foot home with 3 classic cars and driveway. And also, Renee does not have to worry about money. She does not work, and I pay all the bills. I dick her down at least twice every day. So hearing the term bullshit life just definitely struck a chord with me. Bullshit life, huh? I said. Explain, I said, I took dope of my previously sipped brandy. Well, Terry, you just don't make me happy. It always amazes me when someone has to tell you something bad. The word you gets used a lot more. Renee went on to name all these things I don't do, and I just continued to drink my brandy while she said all she had to say, which involved a lot of the word you. And another thing, Terry, you just don't satisfy me the way I want to be satisfied. You're a horrible lover. You don't listen to me. You don't pay me any attention. You don't notice me. And I'm supposed to be your girlfriend, and you never pay me any fucking attention. All you talk about is your writing, real estate, and going to play ball. I get sick of hearing that shit. Renee continues to vent. Meanwhile, I have made my way back to the kitchen to make me another drink because somehow my glass of brandy suddenly was empty. When I came back to the living area, Renee was still talking, and I heard every word she had said. I not only heard, but I listened to every word she said. Bottom line, Terry, I'm just not happy with you anymore, and I want to break up. Again, I looked in the bottom of my glass for answers, and all I found was some damn good brandy. So I don't listen to you, huh? Okay, well, ask me anything that you think I wasn't listening about. Go ahead, I said, still looking in my glass. Okay, Terry, there's a list of things I can ask you. Go for it, I said. Okay, well, the other day I was telling you about my best friend. Quickly, I interrupted. Do you mean when you was telling me about your best friend Denise and how her husband cheated on her, but Denise couldn't find any evidence, so she planned to set him up by saying that she would be home late. Instead, she would hide in the yard and spy on him. Yeah, Renee, I remember the whole conversation. I also remember thinking how beautiful you looked in the new earrings that you bought. And that was a new outfit too, right? Well, go ahead to your next thing. Fine, Terry. What about the time when I was telling you that I don't know what to do anymore? When I was telling you about how I feel useless since I don't work? Oh, okay, so you mean a conversation when I gave you plenty of suggestions of things you can do to make yourself feel helpless, not feel so helpless. I even offered to pay for you to go to law school since you said that was your dream to be a lawyer. Next, I said while leaning back and stressed out on my leather recliner. Well, you don't fuck me or make love to me the way I want to anymore, and I just can't take this shit anymore. Okay, fuck you or make love to you like what? Like this? Her eyes were closed as she felt me inside her while making both of her knees buckle simultaneously. Renee's eyes squinted as she felt me touch her with the tips of my fingers and breathe erotic breaths into her ear that left her gasping in panic. Renee reacted by melting in my hand and tossing out orgasmic moans. She finally opened her eyes and realized I never physically touched her yet. In fact, all I said was, baby, I love you. Just like that, she was giving a mental orgasm. I got up from my recliner and walked over to Renee. First, I kissed her tears away and loved how they tasted on my lips. Next, I proceeded to taste every inch of Renee. I knew she couldn't resist it because I damn near felt juices explode on my fingers like waterfall when I moved them inside her. Renee was undressed and off into another world as I palmed her ample breast and circled her nipples with my tongue while slightly blowing. That alone made four-letter curse words escape her breath. Through the rhythm of her ooms and the blues in her eyes, my hands indented themselves onto Renee's thighs. My nature parted the remnants of her soul and into the heavens of embrace, while love-colored moans escaped her breath. Passion tears hung from her eyelids and the juices from Planet Renee made for one hell of an adult beverage that I couldn't pass up. I drank from her well and became intoxicated instantly. And instantly, I was sobered through the rhythm of Renee's moons and eyes. I was sure that I experienced the sweetness of her exuberant moistened garden while she experienced the stiffness of my Renaissance manhood, and we would fall in love over and over again. One hand was pushing me away while the other hand and her legs pulled me back in. She was panting her moans and gasping for runaway air. Renee's pussy knew my tongue very well, and the moans and gasping, Renee's pussy knew my tongue very well, and as soon as my tongue moved down her sweet garden, she instantly started quivering. My tongue deep-sea dove inside the oceans of pleasantry, and I enjoyed the sweet, creamy decadence of a moistened offering. Renee screamed and moaned in what seemed like so many different languages that I spelled out how bilingual with my tongue inside her essence. After a few more juicy eruptions from Renee's garden of sensationalism, I arrived drenched and covered in her sweet, amazing grace. On top of Renee, I entered her and always enjoyed would I have deemed the sigh? It was time. I watched her eyes close again, and I wanted Renee to roll her eyes back to me as she felt me penetrate. I wanted her to feel my nature grow and pour through the gardens of her love and rain on my nature in turn. I watered her garden while planting my seed. I entered and kept entering, and Renee passionately beat on my shoulders with her fist, moaning out the word fuck, and her eyes closed tightly in ecstasy, and teardrops streamed from her eyes, which I kissed away. I ran my fingers through her tangled hair and whispered in her ear, come for me, baby. I always enjoyed when she followed directions. Renee was soaking wet and screaming out more four-letter curse words as I felt her waterfall on my nature. Planting her legs over my shoulders, I penetrated deeper and deeper until she let out, it's in my stomach, kind of cough. Renee screamed and cried into ecstasy, which was only motivation for me. Thoughts of, yeah, bitch, you said I don't fuck you right or make love to you right. But yeah, your ass already came three times and I ain't even started, fluttered through my mind. I threw Renee in plenty more positions that she must have had some kind of talk with God about, very important because she kept calling out to him. I exploded inside of her while in a doggy-style position and I continued to thrust. Renee was reminded of the power of my dick because I exited her numb entryway. She stayed there still moaning, still groaning, still bent over. She was also reminded of the power of my dick when she turned over and her legs laid there throbbing in pure enjoyment. When they tried to get up and walk around, while I said, I was in love with your heart, baby girl. I thrust it slowly but surely, and each time I fell in love with you over and over again because I was just that close to physically feeling your heart. I was in love with your heart, baby girl, and I was in love with knowing that you were my world, and I thrust it physically into the essence and mentally into your emotional presence. I fell in love with the journey we were about to start. I was in love with you, and I was close to mentally tasting your heart, but now all I can say is, sorry, I can't fuck you and make love to you the way you want. And she fell to the ground. And that was the last of Renee. I'll cut it off there.
Wow. I gotta give you some clappings for that. Yeah!
Since I'm reading her in the chat room, no, I ain't comfortable to say the word dick. I'm reading off of my screen off my computer, and the letters are small, so I'm stumbling over my words. So, yeah, tell her she needs to stop. Well, I know she can hear me.
Wow, that was, and when I was reading that, you know, I was just like, oh my goodness, it's just, you know, and it's so erotic and a little soft porn, but it's definitely well written and, you know, very expressive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's getting it out, you know, and she's, I'm not going to give away what, you know, what else had happened, but
mm-hmm.
I just can't wait for that to come out as well. So how can people keep in contact with you or get in contact with you?
They can Facebook me. I'm on Facebook. They can get with me on Twitter, at Tori Irving. Email me, Tori, TORUYSI23@yahoo.com. Pretty much through those ways, because I'm always on Facebook. Like I said, Dr. T has his own group, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, I can interact with people through that as well.
And your Facebook is what?
They can just look me at look me up as author Tori Scott Irving. And also they can find me on my website, and that's www.drtseries.com.
Okay. So we're going to be looking for that, your next project. And what do you have planned after that?
I have on my website, I have a section that, you know, let people know what I'm working on and what projects I got up. I have a project that I'm working on now. It's called Significance of Insignificant Love, and that's strictly a romance novel.
Can you give us a little bit about it, the synopsis or whatever?
Well, it's about, of course, a boy and a girl and, you know, how they grew up. It takes you through the whole journey of from childhood to adulthood. And one comes from one walk of life, and another comes from another. The little boy, he's, you know, borderline homeless, and the little girl, she's very wealthy, very rich. And it's just showing that, you know, love doesn't care how much you make or what you look like or whatever. Because love only cares about love. So, and they'll experience the drama between the people that's involved in it.
Okay. Rhea, do you have any questions you want to get in to Tori? Rhea? She must have the mute button on. Okay. Hello?
Talking.
You had the mute button on, didn't you? I told him that. I said, she must have that mute button on.
And wait a minute, I just started talking, and then when you said my name again, I'm like, why is she saying my name again? And like, oh, right, you did mute the phone. Anyway, I know the Dr. T, it's a Dr. T series.
Mm-hmm.
Is this going to be a series of books, or does the series refer to the stories, that it's a grouping of stories?
No, it's going to be a series of books.
And will they all have their own individual topic? What is the series going to consist of?
Really, it's going to consist of, I might do, the next one is going to go delve into more about his past and go into more about why he's the way he is, and also, I don't want to kind of give it away, but there's a cliffhanger at the end of the first book. So the second book is going to pick up where that cliffhanger leaves off.
Okay, so in other words, the series basically consists of multiple books, but of their own nature, whatever their you know, particular subject matter is.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Okay, and when you finish, do you know how many series is going to be in this book?
No, I haven't set a number to it yet, but right now I have, in my head, I have three. But like I said, it's going to go past three. I already know that.
Oh, this Dr. T is something. Mm-hmm. So you have the...
Go ahead.
Do you have the whole story already planned out, you know, the ending, or you're doing it as, you know, series by series?
Mm-hmm, doing it by series. Because when I wrote the
first one, because like I told you before, when it comes to me reading and writing stuff, and that, I joke around with my fiance a lot. I tell her I have ADD when it comes to a lot of stuff. I just can't. Mm-hmm. I can't stay focused, so I don't do well with outlines and numbers and words and all that stuff. So I just get it and just freestyle it and, you know, write as I go.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I wrote, the first one. I didn't have an outline. I just, you know, wrote it. And whatever came to me, that's what I wrote.
Okay. Well, we're going to take a... Go on.
Well, quick question. Based on the storylines or the books you already have, in your mind for this series? Is any of the reception or the following of this series, would that have anything to do with possibly how many books you have in this series?
Oh, yeah, it definitely will.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It definitely will.
Hmm. Well, we're going to take a little break and come back and get ready to close the show, okay?
Okay, cool.
It's not easy. It's never been easy to let anyone see the sentimental side of me. That's all. If I try, I can't help. I can't help but try. I love you, New York, and I'll be back real soon.
That's Miss Patti LaBelle, Somewhere Over the Rainbow.
Good night. Good night, baby. Good night, darling.
That's my girl, Patti LaBelle. I love her dearly. Tori, there is another poem in here that really, another profound poem in here, Death Talk to Me. Can you please read this poem? Because I'm thinking that this should be the anthem for what you're going to read in this poem. I'm not going to give it away, but I think after, you know, people hear it, they may feel the same way that I feel about it. So can you please read that poem before we leave Death Talk to Me?
Yeah, of course. I already have it on the page.
Okay.
Okay. Death Talk to Me. Drink after drink, I was no longer able to think about the stupid things I was doing and whose life I was actually ruining. I had a lot of drinks tonight. Funny, I even got into a couple bar fights. I came out to this place with some friends, and I see all of them with girls in their hands. At every last one, I took a look. Then I decided to book. I did have one drink, one last drink for the night. The bouncer threw me out into a pile of leaves, then stupidly tossed me my keys. There's no one home that I, you know, that can give me a ride, so I just can't toss my keys aside. I have no idea where my wife and kids are. Hopefully, they're not too far. I guess I just have to drive home. I might be all alone. So I hop in the car and hit the highway, trying to find exactly where it is I stay. Not remembering what exit to take, finding it hard to stay awake, I dozed off for a few seconds. I should still be okay. Then I read a sign that says, "You're on your way," and I remember thinking where and why. Another sign that says, "Up there," pointing towards the sky. Now I'm reading a sign that says, "Put your funeral costs first." Then see people waving at me ahead, sitting outside of a hearse. Those people look just like my family out there. Me really too drunk to care. I woke up in time, just in time to dodge a diesel right in front of me. Now head on with the car full of people was all I could see. Watching the car flip over from the impact of mine, I'm just praying that everyone is fine. I was trapped in my car but managed to get out. Going over to the car, all I can do was scream and shout. Everyone appeared to be dead, sadly watching the sight of my daughter landing on her head. I just killed my kids and my wife, and I had no choice but to end my life. All they wanted was love, so to join them, oncoming traffic is what I ran in front of. This terrible scene of my wife and kids was all I could see. I now realize how drunk I was and know that death talks to me.
Wow. So what I was talking about, that should be the anthem for Don't Drink and Drive. Mothers Against Mad should have that poem and, you know, just distribute it throughout, because that's the feeling I got when I read it. What about you?
Yeah, you know, because like I said, I hear a lot of stories about drunk driving, and that's exactly where I got the story from or got the poem from, you know, just thinking about that and hearing about, you know, accidents that were caused by drunk drivers. So,
how do you feel about it, Rhea?
Because of incidents in my own life, drunk driving always has a special place with me. And being the person that I am, I don't practice certain things, but that's one area where hate still comes into the play. And I'm not forgiving, and I'm not one that would, I have no understanding whatsoever. I'm one of the people who feel as though that needs to be, that needs to be a aggravated crime, because you got behind that wheel of that machine that is that daggone heavy, and that strong, and you put you endangered so many and so potentially. But I'm a special place. My mom was hit in a she was driving in the passenger side and was hit head on by a drunk driver in December of 2000.
Mm-hmm.
That made my that broke my mother's hip, and it never healed. That's what made my mother invalid, and ultimately the settlement of her life ended up ending her life 7 years later, and it all started with the actions of a drunk driver, and so yeah, that touched me potentially because I guess. Because it's like you sitting here seeing this, you and being it's like this ain't the first time you've done this. It's like even throughout the poem, you know that this is something that he has done before, and it's like wow. But the very good thing is that he was the one impacted, and it wasn't here in Chicago. Right outside of Chicago, there was a big case that actually the city of Chicago got sued by because this particular guy ran into a van and the six occupants of the van got killed. And not only was this guy a repeated offender when it came to drunk driving, he had gotten his license, quote unquote, illegally through one of the back doors, I guess, of our motor vehicle department. So it was this big, huge lawsuit. Actually, I think it just got settled last year or earlier this year shortly after George Thompson. That's actually what ended up helping aid him in going to jail. And I just sit back and I just think about things like that. At least in this one, he was impacted. Yes, his family suffered. There's always victims. But there could have been victims out there on the road as well. And I was just looking at that, and it's like, wow.
That was a hard
one for me because I had to sit there and dissect it.
Yeah, because, you know, it's like you mentioned, a lot of these drunk drivers, it's not their first offense, and they get, like, a slap on the wrist and, you know, somebody's dead. And they go out and they do it again and again and again. You know, when I feel if when you kill somebody, and especially when you know that you're not supposed to drink and drive or drive and drink, and you kill somebody, there's no reason for you to ever be out on the street again. Because that person that you killed, they're people, they cannot see them anymore, they can't talk to them anymore, but you're in jail, you're alive. You're getting three meals a day, cable, this and that. So I think that's the place that you need to be. You know, and that poem is so, it's just very prolific. And, you know, like I said, it should be with the Mothers Against Mad Drivers. They need to have that to pass this out, you know, to get it out there. Because that poem I could actually see, you know, I could actually see this guy being thrown out the bar and, you know, he's drunk and he gets to drive and then, you know, killing his family, you know, so you never know. You never know, but that's one of my favorite poems in the book, too.
As I said earlier, that's the one thing that still resonates with me, even as I'm sitting here listening to him. Is the imagery that came along with it's like you got poems that deal with all these different subjects, and you can visually, it's like you're there as this poem is being said, you're seeing it play out, and you that resonates with me about that was actually one of the biggest points about this book that just did a number, and it's like wow. And it was not just one or two or three or four. It was multiple. You just that the imagery that he invoked as he tells his what I say spins his little tales in poise. It's like wow, really?
They're like little mini movies.
And I just love that.
Thank you.
Yeah, so you want to shout out your information once again so people can you know, keep in touch with you?
Yeah, they can get in contact with me on Twitter. Like I said, it's at Tori Irvin. And my website, www.drtseries.com. And also find me on Facebook. Look me up as author Tori Scott Irvin. And
okay.
before I go, I just want to give, you know, a couple thanks to Rhea, to you, to, you know, my family, my sister, my fiance. I can't, you know, they made my writing a million times better. My fiance, Shelby James, she's just taking my writing to a whole nother level than, you know, than where it was before, and I didn't even think that was possible. And my twin sister, she's listening. You know, she keeping me going. My mom, you know, my whole family, they just keep me going. I just want to give a shout-out to them, you guys that support me, the One Essence. I don't know if she's still on, you know. Everybody,
no, she's gone
asleep. Everybody who supports me, I just want to, you know, give a big shout-out to y'all and let y'all know I really do appreciate it, and, it, you know, it keeps me going.
Okay, so they can purchase your book off of your website, right?
They can get in contact with me, you know, through that, and I can set that up. But really, you know, they can get it off, you know, Amazon and Barnes & Noble. I don't have it set up to where they can actually go to my website and, you know, buy it off of there.
Oh, so they can go to Amazon. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right, everybody, so you heard that you can get this book off of Amazon. It's Love Rescue, Tori Scott Irvin. And this book, when I'm telling you, when you read it, it's gonna take you like on a little journey, the poems in it, because it definitely, I could visualize, you know, reading these poems, and, you know, some poems really are not like that, you know, but I could actually visualize the poems that, you know, really touched me, and, you know, just seeing them, reading, you know, each sentence, I could see the action going along with it. So that's a good thing about this book. So go to Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and pick up your copy, and you won't regret it. I'm telling you, this is Tori Scott Irvin. I do appreciate you coming on, and I'm going to, you know, be looking forward to you to come back when your next book, she did that. No, I'm sorry. What One Woman Did, I don't know why I said she did that, What One Woman Did. Where did I get that from? What One Woman Did.
I'll write a book with that name if you want me to.
Well, yeah, so we're going to have to.
Hint, hint, Tori, I guess.
I know, right?
What One Woman Did, and the character, Dr. T, he's hot. And if you didn't hear the excerpt, you can go to his Facebook page or on his website and, you know, read the excerpt to Dr. T, which
now,
Dr. T is a character.
I know I was 20 minutes late, so that's why I didn't say no, but now that we're at the end of the show, I'm going to go ahead and say it. When the series is ready to drop, Dr. T can come on for an interview because he was very subdued tonight.
Oh, okay.
And I've never known him to be subdued.
Mm.
All right.
Okay,
so
well, we're going
to come back on for his own interview.
Okay, so we'll have Dr. T to come on the next time. So
yes.
We're definitely
right.
Going to be looking forward to Dr. T. So, Rhea, you have any closing remarks?
No, but thank you very much. It was a very enjoyable time. And as I said, I really enjoyed your book, which you already know.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. It was a very good book, you know, and I'm definitely glad that I got it. You know, and I encourage everybody out there to pick this book up. You will not regret it. There are points in here for different aspects of maybe your life, you know, because it has sections where he's talking about death, pain, struggles, and I'm quite sure everybody's been through some pains and struggles and deaths in their lifetime. So pick this book up, Love Rescue, Tori Scott Irvin. And with that being said, I'm going to get ready and get out of here, let Rhea go, let Tori go, And you guys have a beautiful weekend. See you next week. Our next week's show, we're having Envy Red on. And her book, Touch, is hot.
Woo!
Yes, I cannot.
Review yesterday.
Huh?
I just finished my review yesterday.
All right, then.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So she's going to be on next Friday, and the Friday after that we're having Dean Jean Perry. He wrote The Pussy Whisper, and a couple other shows lined up for next month, but I haven't really posted anything else up except for next week's show. But just to keep you abreast of what's going on at Delicious Talk. And if you have any show ideas or if you'd like to be a guest on the show, you can either get in touch with myself or with Rhea, or you can leave a message on Blog Talk, or you can email me at goldenlocks556@verizon.net. And we've come to the end of our show. I'm going to say goodnight, Rhea, and thank you very much for tuning in. Thanks, Ms. Kane. I see you are listening in, darling. And Tori, you have a beautiful evening. And keep writing, and I'm looking forward to having Dr. T on the show.
All right. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Come back anytime, and, you know, like I said, keep up the writing. And when are you going to put out another poetry book?
That one is probably going to be not too long after the other one drops, because that one, I'm still writing a couple ones. They still kind of coming out, so I keep adding to it, but yeah, I'm gonna go ahead and have another one come out, because it's, you know, it's a different style, but still kind of the same, you know, flow, so I'm ready to go ahead and get that one out.
Okay. All right, then, so with that being said, everybody have a good night, a beautiful weekend. They're talking about snow here, but, you know, whatever.
Be safe.
Yeah, all right. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Everybody.